All right, good morning, everybody. I'm so glad you're here. Welcome those who are watching online as well. I am not speaking today. I know you're disappointed. Or some of you are like, yes, about time he's taking a break. But David is going to be our speaker today, and I'm excited for him to share. And we're staying with the same series on hope. So let's give it up for David. He's a little nervous. He's shy.
Always.
Stage fright. So,
I don't know what it's like to be on stage. So welcome, everybody. Yeah, I think we've probably already welcomed you twice, but you can't be welcomed enough, I suppose. Like New said, we're here for the second installment of Joshua. And generally when I'm speaking, I like to start off with something personal. Otherwise, to you, I might be just the individual who was over here playing guitar just a moment ago. So my name is David Benton, and my wife and I, we moved to South Florida 7 years ago. Prior to that, Hannah and I had lived all of our lives in rural Pennsylvania, the sticks. And it took us 3 years, really, to come here and realize that South Florida was truly a home for us. And when we sort of made that decision, we then made the decision to buy a house here. And we bought a fixer-upper because you guys that live here, you guys know the real estate market here in South Florida is just whack. It's wacky. And because we were bored. You know, we were bored with two kids and we didn't have much to do. So we figured let's add like a fixer-upper into our things to do. And obviously I'm joking. Really what it boils down to is we were a growing family and we wanted more than a box to live in. And so we bought what we could, ultimately what we could afford. And so we've spent the last 4 years fixing up our house. And we're 90% of the way done. Still got a good 10%. But I hear you're actually never really finished, is what I understand. But we're 90% of the way for the most part. And it's got a real Chip and Joanna Gaines vibe to it. A lot of shiplap. Some barn door open concept, all these buzzwords that I had no idea of before we decided to fix up. And Hannah's taught me along the way. She's basically said, this is what we're doing. And I've tried to execute it, as best as I really could. But there are two things in our house that kind of remind me of our life in Pennsylvania. The first is something called a barn star. And this image here shows of what a barn star really is. So see on the house that star, right? We can all see that, yeah? So that they call that a barn star. And what it is, it's a 5-point star. It's metal. And it's hung on like every other house in Pennsylvania. And it's meant to bring good fortune. So we have one of those. Number two is what Etsy calls a Christian farmhouse decor sign. It's the next slide. And maybe you're familiar with it, but if you're a worthy Christian in rural PA, you have something like this up on your house. And ours, the one that we have is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a great way to let any guests that you have coming in know that you're Christian without actually telling them, hey, I'm Christian. And if we're going to rank the quotes and the verses that show up in houses, I would argue that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord has got to be number one. Wouldn't you say? Right. Because get it, you're in the house and it's just a perfect way to let them know who you are without actually having to tell them. But when it's quoted, when we see this, a lot of times we don't get any other context other than that sentence. And we know that there's a ton of other context to really understand. And to start with, I guess the question is, who is Joshua talking to? You know, is he talking to his future wife? And he's like, listen, if we're going to marry, we're going to serve the Lord. Is he talking to his rebellious teenager? He's like, my house, my rules, we're going to serve the Lord. And I don't know why I gave Joshua a southern accent, But here we are. You know, is he talking to strangers that he's welcoming in his house? And Etsy hasn't been invented yet, so he's like, well, I guess I got to tell them the old-fashioned way. We serve the Lord here. Well, all of these are clearly not the answer. What Joshua's doing is he's talking to the Israelites. The Israelites, he's talking to the people that he's at this point led into the promised land and conquered. So last week, we begin this series of Joshua, and today we jump, oddly enough, to the end of Joshua, the last chapter of the book. Now, the book of Joshua, like I said, as a whole, details the process of delivering the Israelites into the promised land. And we started with the promise to Joshua. And this is God's promise to Joshua. And it says, but if serving the Lord, it's the next slide. We got it. There you go. And it reads, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all of the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all of these days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to ancestors to give them. And so last week we introduced the idea of hope. And we had a visual, and we're going to create that visual with the same people as last week. So Lewis and Zach, why don't you come up here? Does everybody remember this chain? This is a recall, like I said, from last week. So if I ask you guys questions and you don't get them right, there could be hurt feelings. So I guess my stance is answer right, right? Does anybody remember what Zach represents? I'll give you this one. The destination. Does anybody remember what Lewis represents, right? Where you are, faith, and where you are in your faith. And hope is ultimately what brings us from here to our destination. But our faith and hope exist because of this. Because of all of this. And this is the past. And so today, this is really what the heart of what we're talking about is, remembering the past, because it matters. Because it's important. So you guys are good. I'm not going to keep you up here for 20 minutes today. So we're remembering the past, and if you read through Joshua, it's not going to take you, it doesn't take a Bible scholar, you don't have to go to Bible school to really realize that there's a theme in Joshua, and it repeats itself over and over again. And that theme is remembrance, particularly the remembrance of the blessing, the deliverances of God, the promises that he provides and delivers to the Israelites. So, and it begins really as soon as the Israelites step foot into the promised land. It begins at the point where they cross the Jordan River. And the Levites are leading this group here. And as soon as their feet touch the water's edge, what God does is he stops the water from flowing downstream. And then 600,000 Israelites cross the Jordan River on dry land. But that's not all. Joshua, or God rather, tells Joshua, have your men, have 12 men, one from each tribe, pick up a stone from the Jordan River, carry it to wherever you may camp tonight, and then ultimately leave these stones in a pile. And the question is, why though? But Joshua provides that rationale to his people in Joshua 4. Great, we're there. To serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. And this idea of remembrance, it continues. We're kind of going to go rapid fire here. But it continues then next in Jericho. You know, the fortified city, and they're instructed, the Israelites, to walk around the city for 7 days. And on the seventh day, they're instructed to blow their horns, their trumpets. And when they do that, the walls of Jericho fall down, which is a clear act of God. You know, it's God delivering that city to them. And when the city is taken, when it's destroyed, what does God tell them to do? He tells them, leave the city unbuilt in a heap of rubble as a signal, as a symbol to remember. And then, immediately following this, as the city is destroyed, they're told to do specific things with the valuables. But Achan, an Israelite, takes some valuable items from Jericho, and he keeps them for himself. And he's found out, because of course, he's found out. And what do? They stone him. And then, with the stones that are used to stone him, they leave them there. For what reason? As a symbol, to remember. And then, almost immediately falling again, at Mount Ebal, Joshua builds a temple in God's name, excuse me, as a sign of remembrance of God's covenant to Moses. I'm telling you, this is over and over again. And lastly, at Gibeon, there are five kings of the tribes, if you will, of Amorites. And they band together and they plot against the Israelites. And through some awesome, awesome acts of God, we're talking like hailstones coming down on our enemies. We're talking the sun standing still for days. We're talking the moon stopping, standing right where it is. Through those acts, the Amorites are destroyed. They're conquered. And the five kings, they hide in a cave. And when they're found out and taken care of, to remember what they do is they roll five stones over the mouth of that cave as a sign to remember God's timeliness and his awesome deliverance. So clearly, there's a pattern here that God is instructing his people to remember, and more so to remember. And in these cases, it's a lot of stones, right? A lot of rolling stones, a lot of heavy stones, which is, seems like a lot of work. But most of these memories, they're examples of God's awesomeness, but sometimes they're recalls of unfaithfulness. But regardless, they are memories put there to help the Israelites remember. And so particularly the 12 stones of Jordan, when God had called Joshua to tell his people to lift these stones and carry them with them, the word he used looks like this. And I don't pretend to know any Hebrew, but this is pronounced oath. What it means is sign. And it's the same word that was used to describe the rainbow after the flood, after Noah's flood. And it was a sign then. It's a sign of God's covenant, of his promises and fulfilled promises. And I thought, you know, how can we apply this idea of remembrance to our lives, to our daily lives, to help us, you know, even thrive in life? But the fact is that this lesson is strictly spiritual. But we have incredible news that comes from this. And it's that we don't have to roll stones anymore. God's people has done this for us. The Israelites have done this for this. This has been fulfilled. But when those stones, those memories failed, then the ultimate stone was rolled for us across Jesus' grave. And we sitting here today know that he would defeat that grave and ultimately give us here today the greatest memorial in history, the memorial of our salvation at that very moment. So on this matter, our calling is simple in a way, but it's important. And it's to remember God's glory. Like I said, this sounds simple. But what makes us different today than the nation of Israel? You know, that promised land was initially promised to them 500 years before Joshua. You know, what makes us think that God knew that the Israelites would need help remembering, but we're good? He clearly felt that it was important enough to have them create physical space, actual things to help them remember. And here we are now, 2,000 years separated from the moment that Jesus conquered death for us. And I promise you, I promise that I promise that in a time where we have the opportunity to be distracted by a million different things, I promise that God at the very minimum wants us to create mental space to remember. So I think the question here is why do we come to church? And there are many reasons. Y'all could shout out, everyone could shout out a reason and it'd probably be right. But among that list is definitely to remember. And so why do we take communion every week at Connected Life? Why do we do it? There's an answer for this. To remember, right? But that's just Sunday. We're talking about what we do on Sunday. There are 6 days that happen in between Sunday every week. So we have 6 days to become distracted, to chase that shiny object, and ultimately to forget, even if temporarily. And so our core calling is simple. It's to remember. But the challenge here, I ask, is have you structured your life in a way that constantly helps you be reminded of all of God's promises and all of his fulfilled promises? You know, whether it's through devotionals throughout the week or studies or outreach that you do, whatever it may be, is this an area that you can improve on? And if it is, good news. The good news is that the hard work is done. We no longer have to roll those stones. And so if you can understand that, that we can get back to the core of our message here, which is our verse. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we gave it some context. We know who he's talking to. But let's take a look at the surrounding verses. Joshua 24, they read, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors. Worship beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the Amorites, in whose land you're living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." So in these verses, Joshua has pulled together the tribe of Israel after they have made all their conquests. And right before these lines, right here that we're looking at, he delivers part A of his message to these folks. And can you guess what he does? He recounts the history of the Israelites, of God's people, God's promises, God's fulfillment. From Abraham to Moses, he retells the story and the splitting of the Red Sea, everything. And he highlights all of God's awesomeness, all of his power. He details the fulfillment of every promise. He's literally highlighting right here the importance of remembering. And then directly after that, right here, He makes this call to the nation of Israel. Verse 15, choose today. Choose today. And by the way, I'm choosing the Lord because there's only one clear choice. That is, if you truly remember, if you look back on how God has delivered us, on how he has fulfilled every promise, if you're doing your job of remembering, the choice is clear. The God of Abraham, he's our one true God. And his calling, Joshua's calling here, choose today. It's one of urgency. I think the question is, why so urgent? You know, why does today need to be the day? And it's the fact that these people are once again years removed away from their initial promise. Generations have been traveling. They've been wandering. At times they've been lost. And yeah, they've conquered every city in the promised land, and they're in their newfound land, but now they're tested. They're living with the initial inhabitants of this land. And so they're living with the Amorites. They're living with the Gibeonites. None of these groups following the one true God that Joshua was talking about. All of these cultures capable of influencing them away from God. Yeah, sure, your God sounds great, but have you heard of this God? Man, look at how cool this other God is. And, you know, why not worship this goat? Why not worship these things? And can your God really promise you peace? Listen, you've been at war. For how long? Don't you want peace? Our God can do that for you. And so it reminds me of moving here. You know, once again, we grew up the majority of our lives in Pennsylvania. And I told you it was the sticks. Life here in South Florida is different. I'd argue there's a lot more temptation here. South Florida is a special place. It clearly has our heart. But it's a place of temptation. I don't know of another place that money is so, and the abundance of it is so in your face. And it would be really easy for us to have come here and get caught up in that race. You know, the focus of beauty here, the focus of youth, the focus of influence. And all these other things that would be in place of Jesus. And particularly remembering what he did for us. Without that, without the foundation that we came here, it might have been really easy for us to put one or many of those things that South Florida seems to love in God's place. So Joshua says, choose for yourself this day, today. Do it now. And if you are to serve the Lord, you may find it undesirable, which Jesus tells us the same thing. It's going to be tough. It's going to be counterculture. It's going to be unpopular. And Joshua seems to say, but I know who our God is. I know. I remember. I know exactly who he is, and I know that we have one true God. He's created us from dust, and he has guided this nation, this particular nation, for years. And he has delivered us here into the promised land. And because I remember, because I know this, there is no other God, no other choice. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you've not made the choice to follow Jesus, then the message for you is really kind of summed up pretty simply. There is one true God. If you recount everything that God has done for us, that decision is clear. Choose today. And if you're a Christian, if you've already made the choice to follow Jesus, here's your message. It's that Joshua was talking to God's people. He was not talking to the unchurched, if you will. He was talking to the churched. And he says, there is no middle ground. Choose today. There is no middle ground. There's no faithful road that can be walked where we split our attention between God and anything else. We can't serve Jesus and anything else. You know, money, fame, influence, whatever it is. We can't serve them. We can't serve false idols. There's no room for it. And the band can come up. But you believe, as a Christian, you believe that Jesus is our Savior. And my message is, may you never forget. May you constantly be reminded of the blood that was shed for us. And with that, may you remember that our true God, He's a jealous God. And He wants 100% of you, 100% of the time. So right now, we're going to step into our invitation, and our elders and Pastor New are going to come up here and be available for you up front. If you've not made the decision to follow Jesus, this is a great opportunity. Come up, talk to one of our elders, talk to Pastor New, and find out what it really looks like taking that next step. And if you are a Christian and you have something's weighing on your mind, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. If something's weighing on your mind, come pray with our elders.